Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. We talk about subjects here from history that are factual. In fact, we're kind of like a CSI team. There are written words about events that have happened. But what we learn as history are those facts that we are exposed to. And when we look back and do a deep dive into the subject, we find that there's lots of information there, but it has not been publicly shared. And so we end up with a very skewed vision of what our history is or what it is not. And that is detrimental to all people involved, not just black people, but white people, red, yellow, brown. Every hue of the rainbow is affected because we should be on a team. When we listen to or hear the poem by Emma Lazarus on the Statue of Liberty that says, give me your tired, your poor, your hungry, whatever. The line above it that is excluded says, you keep your best. We will do the rest, essentially. That's not part of it, but we will do the rest. We provide opportunity. We provide the opportunity for people to progress and get benefit of their work. But that's not always the way that it has been, because so many facts have been left out, whether intentionally or unintentionally. That's not our argument. What we try to do is fill you in on those facts. We go back even as far as the Bible that says that oxen should not be unequally yoked. And what this has done, that what this changing of the message has done, the elimination of the message has done, people that are evenly yoked in unequal positions, so they cannot get together. I grew up in a segregated town during segregated periods. I'm probably older than many of the listeners, or most of the listeners on this program. So in some cases, I've seen things that you have never, ever seen. You've heard about. You don't know the pain that comes from it. You don't know the loss that you've suffered. And this is what we try to do. And I think it is a benefit to all people to understand history. We spend a lot of time saying that we must know our history in order to benefit from it. But what we're given is not the true story. Let me give you an example before we start into the heart of our discussion today. Most of us know about Paul Revere's ride when the British were coming. And that's poems. There's a lot of information written about that. And Paul Revere did ride on that night. He went west. The reinforcements came from the north. Who went north? Nobody knows, except the shadow do. Anyway, the person that went north was Wentworth Cheswell. Most people have never heard the name of Wentworth Cheswell. He was a judge. He was black. And he went north and summoned the reinforcements that helped us win that skirmish. Now, that being said, there are many people saying, how does that affect me? And I want all ladies listening to the program at this point to remember this particular point. Because if I ask you who was Sybil Ludington, most of you don't know. And I hope that I'm not talking down to anybody, because I didn't know about it. And I had studied history and middle school, high school, college, and did not know, had never heard this name before. Sybil Ludington was a 16 or 7-year-old white girl that also rode the same night as Paul Revere. I think it's significant because it showed that we were a diverse country back then. What we lose in that story are the patriotic spirit of women, of blacks. And we end up with other people saying, well, if they had done something, I would know about it because I've heard, I've listened to the news. I've read the history. I know what happened. You know what they told you. Now, at places, I sometimes blame teachers for not telling us the truth. But I really shouldn't be blaming teachers for not telling us the truth, because most of them don't know the truth to tell us, because we have not broken it down in that aspect. This is a part of the puzzle that I try to put together. Now, when I started the post, I wanted to speak strictly of the accomplishments of people of color, strictly of the accomplishments, because there are many. Most people think they know the story of George Washington Carver. They do not know the story of George Washington Carver, the hardships that he endured, what he had to do, and what he did for society as a whole. And this man was just not just a humble person that stayed in his laboratory all the time, although he spent lots of time there. But he was good friends with Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, other people of renown, because they recognized that he had something to contribute to our history. And so what we're talking about starts in that genre. We have people that have made major accomplishments. Some of you may be riding in your cars now, knowing or not knowing that the person that did much of the pioneering work on GPS systems that may be guiding you at this very second with Dr. Gladys West, a black woman. What does that have to do? Nothing. You use the application, but you overlook people like her. You overlook her and people like her that could be making contributions to America that everybody can use. When you get on GPS, it doesn't say what race are you. It gives you the information that you need. And when you have that, you know, I'm thankful to Dr. West. I'm also thankful to Dr. Patricia Bath, because I had cataract surgery, and she developed what we have now for cataract surgery. Before, it was a very difficult, very restrictive program for quite some time. I walked out of the doctor's office after having cataract surgery and was able to see. I wanted to jump up and down and shout and do like Mary Tyler Moore did in her show and throw my hat in the air. But we don't get there because we don't know all the facts. When we don't know that we're sitting next to someone that can contribute, even to what we're working on, we all miss out. I hope that you understand this. If not, I want you to replay this episode because there's an archive. I'm not sure how long they're kept, but there is an archive that you can go to and hear the words again. Now, as I was coming along, I thought that reviewing something was the worst thing that I could do with my time, until I got into practical applications and had to review those notes and finding out, yeah, this is what it meant. This is the recall. So we've talked about that. Now we progress up and we don't realize that in many cases, people of color played significant roles in all of our great wars. In all of our wars, we have been there. And in many cases, we had to fight for the privilege to fight. Now, many people, not knowing that we were involved in these wars, think that all we did is stay there and pick master's cotton. Other things, while we had, during our history, people burning their draft cards, burning the flag, and taking other actions that some people thought were offensive. Some people thought were offensive, but then we justified on the fact that there's a First Amendment right to express discord. Not going down that road either. But what we find is one of the cruelest ones, because I'm going to skip that. I'm going up to the American Civil War. Many people claim that or have been told that it was a war between the states. It is not the war between the states. It is between a war between the United States of America, which we know today, and the Confederate States of America. These are people that separated from the Union, states, 11 states separated from the Union. The issue was slavery. What we had was a small percentage of people that owned a large number of slaves that were becoming filthy rich, filthy rich. The value of the slaves forced into America was worth more than all the factories and railroads in the North. And these people were profiting from it and profiting mightily from it. South Carolina led the way, signing a secession order, I believe it was on December 24th, of 1861, 62, somewhere in that period of time. They did, is they formed a separate nation. Now let's go back. When America separated itself from Great Britain, we wrote a constitution, we elected officers, we had a president and a vice president. When these countries seceded from the Union, they say, we are no longer part of the United States of America. We are the Confederated States of America. We have a constitution. We have a president. We have a vice president. We have everything we needed. They had a capital, although it moved a couple of times. The United States capital has moved several times as well. So we have all the makings of a country. And what we did is we waged war. Now, although the primary issue was slavery, there were four slave states that did not secede from the Union. Four. That were slave states in the Union. Now we have President Lincoln as president, and what he was trying to do was to unite the country, not to eradicate slavery, not to maintain slavery, because he is quoted as saying, if I could preserve the Union and not free a single slave, I would do it. If I had to free all the slaves to unite the Union, I would do it. Although he had some abolitionist tendencies about him, that was not the issue. We had statistically 2% of the nation that owned large numbers of slaves. Before we go down the road talking about, well, black people owned slaves too. They did. It is a true statement. Black people owned slaves. Most of the time, it was not for the same reason that white people did. Because as we look back at our history, we find there were fugitive slave laws. These fugitive slave laws said that even if you don't believe in slavery, if my slave runs away, you better catch him or you are going to be charged. Because even if you don't believe in it, you have to help me. That's my property. That's not a human being. That is my property. We get to the point where during the times of slavery, white people going to church had to take a gun to church with them. The reason for that? These people, knowing that the masters were away, ideal time to run away. And so we armed ourselves to go to church. By we, in this case, I'm talking about white people, slave owners, or those that did not even believe in slavery. And there were people in the South that did not believe in slavery, just as there were people in the North that did. During the coming together during the Civil War, most people don't realize how close New York came to joining the Confederacy. Why? Because so many goods were being shipped out of New York that they weighed heavily to see if they should join them enforcing slavery laws. We have strange bedfellows when it comes to politics. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And it took me a long time to get that down. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so New York, even New England, was heavily vested in slavery. The shipbuilding, they were building ships to go to Africa to bring enslaved people back here. Well, they brought people back and enslaved them, because many of the people, most have not heard of Mammy Kate. Mammy Kate saved the life of the governor of Georgia, who had been sentenced to die. And how did she do this? She was of royalty, but she was large in stature, understanding that she was 6 feet tall or more and probably weighed a couple of hundred pounds. She visited the governor, who was to be executed the next day, and said that she was there to clean his clothes. Oh, stereotype, washerwoman. What she did is she had a package on her head. He was small enough, he got in that basket on her head, and she was able to bring him out, saving his life. Got kind of a raspy throat, so I have to take some sips of hot water every once in a while. And I want to give you a number while I'm doing this. Many of you are listening on your device, and that's great. I love you for it. But what we do is I have a dashboard in front of me, but the only people I see on that dashboard are those that call in. If you have comments, questions, suggestions, disagreements, whatever, we can handle that, because what we're trying to do is to open a dialogue on this subject. And in order to do that, you need to call in so I can see you, open the microphone, do whatever. The number to do that is 646-668-8217. Again, 646-668-8217. And after I go through some of the discussion, now, if you want to find out what the subjects are each week, on AmazingBlackHistory.com, I usually post every Thursday. It's the subject that we're going to talk about that Sunday, although we're not limited to that topic, because, again, I want to open doors for you. Now, let me tell you what you'll find in AmazingBlackHistory.com. There's over 300 posts. I understand that people learn differently, and many times people want more information about what's taking place. And so we try to do that. There's a written summary, then there are videos on the subject, and there are books. Most of us, when I went to school, I had little interest in history because they were funny dressed people, didn't look like me, wearing weird hairstyles and everything else for the time, that I just didn't get into it, and it didn't affect me. As a kid in high school, what did I want to know about the Whiskey Rebellion? I didn't drink. My parents didn't drink. I could care less. And why would I care about something far away from me? I couldn't find a reason. I didn't see any depictions of people that looked like me, except what they were trying to do in showing people that were borderline civilized in some foreign country, half naked, and at times with kids of my age, that was funny. Rather than talking about the true heroes that we had in America. So we engage in this war. The bloodiest war we've ever been in, the bloodiest, fighting for people that had everything to lose. They had money, but we were fueling the world's economy because we were shipping cotton to England, Cotton is not the only crop that we had. We had indigo. We had rice. And an interesting thing about that, we always associate rice with the Orient, Oriental. They used a lot of rice. But the people that knew how to grow Carolina Gold, a rice that was shipped all over the world, came from Africa. They made specific requests for people with those skills. And yet, and still, we don't see it. Now, don't worry. We're going to get to our topic of the day, which is the naming of military bases after Confederate generals. So we have people that came over here, excuse me, with knowledge before they got here and willing to do the work. They weren't willing. They were forced into it. They did the work. But they were treated extremely unfairly. They were forced to work many times from sunup to sundown. No matter the weather, no matter what conditions were, they were slaved or enslaved people. And so what we did is to unite the country, because Lincoln recognized that it could not exist half slave, half free. We were making deals with incoming states, California being one of them. California was admitted as a free state. Others were admitted as slave states. And so this could not continue. There were slaves in the North. But it was not the agricultural thing that allowed hundreds to be under the control of a single person. As we went into the Civil War, those people with money were those people in power, much like today. And what they did was in their own best interest. They had a what's called a 20 Negro rule, and I'm cleaning this up because they did everything they could to make sure to be as vile and as demeaning as possible. And this law said that a slave owner, for every 20 enslaved people they had, they could exempt one of their sons. Now, they have more to fight for than anybody else. This then forced somebody that was a non-slave-holding person to go to war. By the end of the war, they had changed this, that for every 15 that you owned, you could exempt a son. Now, does that sound like a fair and legitimate deal? I mean, it was, but it does not sound fair. It sounds like somebody taking advantage of someone else, which is essentially what slavery did. Enslaved people were considered as property, much like your kitchen table or chair. If you wanted to take your chair outside and whack it with an axe, you could do it. And in many cases, that's what happened to slaves. We don't often hear about it, but when we go back and look at the picture of the movie Roots, and I wish that they would do more to portray what took place there and talk about it and open up lines of discussion. Because we get to a point in this country where we think talking about anything about race is wrong. Anytime somebody brings up the subject of race, oh, shut up. We do that with kids. We have kids that say, why is that person dark? Shut up. Well, why? There are answers to it, and there are ways of discussing it, and there are ways of mentioning it without that in mind. We depict on radio, TV, newspapers, whatever, that color is bad. It's a sin. It is not. Because some of the greatest minds on the face of the earth came from Africa. It's important to know this. I'm not trying to say that anybody is superior to anybody else, because every race has produced great people. And it's about time that we understood that, and that we accepted that and moved on. It was against the law to teach people to read or enslave people, free or enslaved, to read and write, not because they couldn't, but because it gave an unfair advantage to one race over the other. Now we get into the Civil War. When we talk about John Bell Hood, John Bell Hood was attending the United States Military Academy at West Point. And I watched yesterday with pride as my grandson was given his degree, commission, in a ceremony presided over with the commencement speaker of Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States. First time in 221 years that a woman has ever spoken before that class. Not because there was nobody that could do it, but because of perceptions of what's there. So we enter into this great war, and we make every kind of attempt to justify that war by saying it was over slaves' rights. But Mississippi wanted to sue New York at one time because New York would not allow Mississippi to bring their slaves into New York. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. But this is what we're finding out. We're finding the Dred Scott decision was based on that because under prevailing laws, if you were free, you were always free. Except we had laws saying, no, that can't happen. When we look at 12 years a slave, we see a free man kidnapped, taken south, and enslaved for 12 years. That's okay to take free people, never been enslaved, and enslave them because of the color of their skin. Fortunately, he was able to get word out. You've seen the movie. And he was finally freed. But 12 years of enslavement over nothing more than a skin color tells us that there is something sadly wrong. We go into this war. John Bell Hood resigned in order to join the Confederate States of America. Now understand this. He was in the United States Army, resigned to take on the role of the enemy combatants. And he wasn't even a good general. He lost more men than probably any other general in the Civil War. Lost men because of his incompetence. He was finally removed from the position because of this, because of that incompetence. But yet and still, we can't find an American to name our military bases after. Are you telling me that? Well, as they look, understand that higher than our per capita representation in the Union, more blacks are in the military per capita than other races. And yet and still we insist on naming bases for enemies that tried to make sure that they never took a free breath of air in their entire life. Because we have a young lady at the present time, I cannot remember her name. But she said if she could be free for 1 minute knowing that at the end of that minute she would die, that she would take freedom and die rather than remaining enslaved. Now, we say that these people had no knowledge, they had no emotions, and I'm going to be speaking Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the Spartanburg Public Library, 151 Church Street, in the Harley Room, on women in the military, black women in the military. We're going to hear about a qualified black female U-2 pilot we're going to hear about other things that happened. Captain Phillips, the ship that rescued Captain Phillips, was commanded by a black female admiral in the Navy. Now, how many knew that? Be honest. Some people may have heard something about it, but you can go to Amazing Black History and look up these stories. There's some others coming. And will be coming out in the future. They've been written. They're there. I post one a week, and we try to give you in-depth information. But I'm going to be looking at something else that's coming up, because I'm going to talk about Fort Lee. Fort Lee is going to be renamed Fort Gregg, G-R-E-G-G, hyphen, excuse me, Adams. Did I say Lee? Adams. Adams? Many of you may question. Yes, Adams. Charity Adams was in charge of the 6888. Who are the 6888? All black, all female unit that were deployed to England and France as a postal battalion, because those people there could not keep up with the work. Their motto, no mail, no morale. And they worked around the clock to clear a six-month backlog. They had to work in rat-infested buildings and wear winter clothing because it was not air-conditioned, was not heated, and foodstuffs in many of the packages for the soldiers contained food, and they were eaten. We had a system that said that, you know, you sent it. Most people didn't know the information. They may send the package to Robert Smith. How many Robert Smiths do you think there were in the military? They worked out a system to make this work. So we go back to John Bell Hood, who lost more people than probably anybody else in that war. And we're honoring him, honoring him. He had to be removed from the position because of his incompetence. He was wounded at least twice on the battlefield. This has nothing to do with his performance, but he was shot in the left arm to the point where he couldn't use it. He was shot in the right leg, and it had to be amputated. They basically had to strap him onto a horse to get him into battle. That is not the bad part, because you're using your mind. But he stayed in the rear. Now, we look at what has happened. Hood is now Fort Cavazos. Cavazos rose to the rank of four-star general, and at the time was the only Latino four-star general in the military. Now, this man, when he was on the battlefield, was ordered to leave the battlefield. But he had wounded soldiers out there. He would not leave the battlefield and leave one of his soldiers on the battlefield. Men had respect for him, because he might show up in the foxhole with you. He was a brilliant general. He fought in two wars, got Medal of Honor in two wars, defending America. So compare the two. A general that had to be relieved of duty because he was getting his men killed versus a man who will not leave a wounded soldier on the battlefield. Who would you name a fort after, a military installation after? America chose to honor the disgraced General Hood, and knowing that black soldiers who are volunteering disproportionate to their numbers to serve this country would be offended had they known the full story. We have 10 bases that are going to be renamed because they are named after these loser generals. Why do they get in that place an anointed position in the first place? Because the history of the war was largely written by the South. We made backward moves. Abraham Lincoln, excuse me, had chosen Johnson as his vice president because he was a Southerner. And they were trying to get votes from the South. Smart move. But what we have to realize is that as soon as Lincoln was killed, and why Lincoln was killed, we had the 13th Amendment, which freed the slaves. The Emancipation Proclamation didn't, because we had four states in the Union that were slave-owning states. They didn't free them. It was those slaves in the South that were in areas captured by the Union Army. The 14th Amendment guaranteed citizenship. The 15th Amendment guaranteed black men, not women, the right to vote. At that point, there was a plan hatched that they would kill the president, vice president, secretary of state, the first three lines of succession, basically and Johnson turned many of the laws, rules, regulations designed to bring equality to all on its head. We then go and name and honor these losing generals. We're going to talk about Fort Bragg. We're going to talk about Fort Benning. We're going to talk about Fort Lee in upcoming episodes. I don't know that I'll bring them on immediately because we have so many other topics to talk about. But America had no feeling, no empathy, no anything for black soldiers who were fighting and exemplified themselves. Now, Wednesday, when I speak at the public library in Spartanburg, 7 o'clock, 151 Church Street in the Harley Room, I'm going to talk about people like that. When we have people like Lucy Higgs Nichols, who fought with the Union, she could have fought, but she was a nurse with the Union Army. And when, because of records, when she became unable to do any more, I mean, the men absolutely loved her. When her daughter, Nicole, fell ill and died, they took up money for a funeral, flowers, everything. These are white soldiers. When they went away, they hired her so she had employment. And when she became ill and she was not getting a pension, they made sure that the United States government gave her a pension. They were so in love with her. There was a unit or a national organization called, I forget the name of it, had only one woman in it, and that was her. It was a national organization. She was the only woman in the nation that was a member because they loved her that much. We're going to talk about Susie Taylor, King Taylor, who was also beloved by, and she fought with troops in the South and was actually the first black nurse. Now, we're going to take people like this and basically just slap them upside the face with a dead, which is essentially what we're doing. When we dishonor even the memory, even the thought, even the reason that many of these people are. Now, during these wars, the black soldiers believed in America, believed in what they were able to do. When I quote the words to you, no refuge can save the hireling or slave from the terror of flight, the gloom of the grave. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many know where that came from? How many? Be honest with yourself. What I've just quoted you is the third verse, part of the third verse of the Star Spangled Banner. And this was written by Francis Scott Key, a slave owner. He knew what he was talking about. Now, before we leave this subject, a hireling is generally a black person who fought for Britain. And why would they do that? Because Britain promised them freedom. Freedom. And so they either had to fight to try to get it, or they could join the British in the – I'm jumping wars on you. I'm going back to the American Revolutionary War. But this is how much people desired freedom. And yet the stories are going to tell you that they didn't. They didn't have emotions. But I can show you all along, people in these wars were subject to being sold. At a moment's notice, somebody dies and the slaves get split up. They didn't care about keeping a family together. So we go into war trying to change much of this. We talk about Reconstruction. Reconstruction was a period of time when we were trying to restore our society. I don't know if you restore rights, but to bestow upon former slaves the rights and privileges of citizenship. And it was undermined at every turn. So we have a losing general versus a man who would not get off of the field and be concerned about his own safety, but about the safety of his men. Who would you want to lead you into battle? Somebody's going to leave you stuck out there? Somebody's going to get you killed and have no opportunity for success? Somebody who resigned from the country you're fighting against to join the enemy? Is that who you want? That's what we did. And it's shameful. It has been, it is now official. No more Fort Hood, Fort Cavazos. And like I said, he was of Latin origin, grew up in Texas, and spent, I believe it was 31 years. Look at that article. Watch those videos. Get a feel of who we thumbed our nose at, because we had to honor those people that took up arms against us. Now, there are other countries that have taken up arms against us. Are we going to start naming bases after them? I hope the hell not. But we make a difference. I want to tell you how we make that difference. Many of these situations are begun as laws. We fight people that are going to represent us at the lowest levels so that they can challenge higher and higher levels. This is how we do it. Whether we're voting for the mayor, a council person, a representative, a senator, and we've talked about the differences between these people, we are making a difference. Some people say, well, my vote don't count. Your vote doesn't count if you don't get other people to join you. If you don't like the people running, find somebody that you can support and encourage them to do it. Start off and learn the situation. Learn what goes on. Learn how laws are passed. Anyway, let's go back to Richard Cavazos. He was well respected by all races, all genders, all religions, because of the content of his character. The man had character. And this is what we want from our leaders. We have many in this country because we're renaming at least 10 bases with people that should have been honored in the first place. Now, by recollection, I can't remember when the name Fort Hood was bestowed, but the Fort Hood is the third largest installation we've got. And we couldn't do better than that. We couldn't do better than that? Oh, man, you've got to be kidding me. That's not what we should do. They went to the bottom of the barrel to get the worst of the worst of the worst to honor, because that was probably the best they could do. Now, when we look at things like Confederate monuments, we look at when they were erected. There were a slew of them erected after Brown v. Board. This is a way for those people to tell America what they think of America. Are they true American citizens? They're enjoying the privilege. But if we say, take that down because you're financing it with my tax dollars, then suddenly we're supposed to be wrong. I cannot understand honoring our enemies. Enemies. I can't understand it. At least we're making feeble efforts to change it. We're not changing history. We're changing the people that we honor during the history. Slavery is a part of our history. And now we don't want to talk about it. We want to make it illegal to talk about it in schools. We are in an age of enlightenment, folks. We enlighten ourselves so that we can understand, so that we can talk about it. I don't have to agree with you. I have many friends that I don't agree with on different subjects. But we find enough common ground that we can be comfortable with each other. We talk about it. There's some people that don't want to even talk about it. They don't want to mention it. Now, I'm going to give you that number again. I hope to do it several times during the show. But it's 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646. That's the area code. 668-8217. Call that number. You can still hear us. But it gives me the opportunity to open the mics and listen to your comment, question, suggestion, disagreement, what have you. Now, we try to keep this on a respectable level because hopefully we have younger listeners listening to the program. Like I said, when I first started, I wanted to highlight just the accomplishments. But you can't fully recognize the accomplishments until you see the depth from which people arose to do it. It's inspiring. When we first integrated baseball knowingly, Jackie Robinson was the chosen person. He was an absolute great player. Rookie of the Year was honored several times during the period of time that he played. Jackie was not necessarily the best player in the Negro Leagues, but he was the best one suited for the taunts, the vulgarity, the threats that were coming his way. Some of the other players may have, we don't know because they weren't in the situation, but been subject to that, gone upside someone's head. Again, at Cavosas. And this man stood on principle. I'm not so concerned about the fact that he is Latino. He represents the principles that I believe in. Yesterday, I had a display of pride as Vice President Kamala Harris broke a 221-year tradition, becoming the first speaker at the United States Military Academy at West Point. As I posted on a Facebook page that I have, Amazing Black History, the news account said that she delivered a commencement exercise to approximately 950 students. My rewrite says Kamala Harris gave a commencement speech to my grandson and 949 of his classmates. Okay, whatever it is. I was not military, but I am proud of the fact that he is. This is what he chose to do. Now, I had a program on earlier about HBCUs. I don't encourage everybody to avoid them. In fact, I think they should be considered. But we don't have enough of them to go around. If they took every student that wanted to go to them, they would bust at the seams. But when we get to a point where we overcome the obstacles of being able to talk about somebody, when you see the videos and you see the family and extended family, Carbosas, you understand American pride. American pride. And this is where we need to go to, but we're not going to get there unless we talk about it. That's why I encourage people to call in. Everybody is not going to agree with me. I don't care if your grandfather owned slaves. You couldn't do anything about it because you weren't here at the time. We come into this world sometimes, and we have people that carry this burden. If I look back in my family tree, I might find a slave-owning relative. Okay. Big deal as far as I'm concerned. Now, some people may be hostile towards that. I'm not. But I tell you what I am hostile about. What are you doing about it today? Can you look at another person and not be afraid because of the color of their skin? Can you look at a person and say, that person is destined to be great? I spoke to a person the other day, younger person, talked about Eileen Alleley. At the age of 14, she's finished high school. She's working on her bachelor's degree, also working on her master's degree, and at the age of 14 has been accepted into medical school. Young black lady, it's not that we were unable to read or write. If that were not the case, you'd see laws saying you can't teach dogs to read and write. You can't teach cats or horses or whatever. They can't grasp it. Not only can we grasp it, but we can run with it. When you look at Amanda Gorman, as she stood during the inauguration and read a poem that was intended to build bridges between people, to challenge our youth to become the best that they could be. And they have banned that in Florida because some one person said they object to it. Is that democracy? We need to do something about that, folks. We didn't even talk about it. We just did it. And it seems to be one-sided in the approach that is being taken. One-sided. We have progressed to the point where we should not be one-sided about what we do. No more. The opportunity to call in is a great one. We have young listeners. We have impressionable listeners. And I see somebody has their hand raised, and I'll open the mics in just a few minutes and see what that person has to say. But I say, let's keep it respectable because we have young children. Encourage your children to listen. This is not a thing of one over the other, but it is a matter of everybody having equal opportunity. When we look at Benjamin Franklin believed the hype that was going around, that people could not learn, that It was a waste of time. His wife worked in a school with black students and invited him to come. When he went, He said those kids are as gifted as any he has ever seen, ever. Now, I'm not saying that they should jump to the head of the class, but they certainly shouldn't be put on the hind end of the horse. And this is what we're working on. This is recognition that other people have done well. Now, I'm going to see what the person hears. I'm opening the microphone so that one person there. Caller from 408, do you have comments?
Yeah, hello. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I had a comment or two. Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate that, you know, open the line up for people to call in and say something. And I had something I wanted to share. I had an opportunity many years ago to have a conversation with a gentleman, and you might be familiar with him. His name is, or was, because he's already passed away, unfortunately, which definitely has an impact on my life. But he left some treasure behind, and I was going to expound on that. His name is Geronimo Pratt. Have you ever heard of him?
I've
Black
heard
Panther.
The name, but I don't know
he
a
was,
lot.
He was a Black Panther.
He was with the
was
Black,
Black
Panthers,
Panther,
right?
In the 60s, right? Opportunity to engage with him, and we were enlightened in our experience because he shared something that helped us to have this clarity that we were sharing. And I was on the receiving end of it all, basically, because of his experiences in his life, you know, which really shined brightly in my life. So I was able to receive what the gentleman was projecting to me, you know, which was sharing love. And I just wanted to kind of say something about that love that he was showing me. That I have to put it in a nutshell because it's too long to talk about, but I can say this much. What I was getting from him was, he took me back to when he was just a little boy and he was looking up to his father and he told me, this is what matters. And I said, you know what? I'm going to remember you. You know, I hope you get out of prison soon. And he goes, I'm getting out. Johnny Cochran's going to get me out. He goes, I'm going to get an interview in a couple days here. He goes, I just want to let you know that, you know, they're going to be coming out here and taking me in there to do the interview. I said, okay, cool. I'll be out there on the yard in prison, you know, waiting for them to, you know, to do that. But what a wonderful man he was, bro.
Yeah, we got a lot of information that was factually inaccurate, and it was slanted because the Black Panthers were not a terrorist group feeding kids. They were doing a lot of good work in the community, and we are left with an impression. Now, to go a little bit deeper into that, if you were around during those times, we had Black militants, but the white people doing exactly the same thing were activists. You know, we start passing these messages on that we call dog whistles. Interestingly enough, since you're familiar with the Black Panthers, recently Henry Louis Gates did genealogy on Angela Davis. Uh-huh. And some of her ancestors came over on the Mayflower. And she was absolutely astonished at that fact because she had these English ancestors that she knew nothing about. And so, you know, we play games with this racism. I am not an American in America. I'm a Black American in America. When I go to a foreign country, I become an American. You know, we play games with that so much.
You don't.
But I
you're right.
The comments and continue.
Yeah.
Are
well,
you still
can
there?
I say something else? Yeah, let's.
I want
to just add something else. You know, that's pertaining to what you're saying. I want to be relevant. Okay.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, like you were saying. It doesn't matter what color you are, because that's the surface. You know, the surface will give you some information about, you know, different people on the planet. Right. You can look at someone and say, okay, you know, who they are. You can identify them. But that's just the surface of them. But then there's this feelings aspect of who we are. The feelings mm-hmm. aspect of who we are, the exterior of ourselves. But if you've been able to get underneath the rough exterior of yourself, you know there's a sacred place where you're practicing doing things that are not like that. Because if you were doing that, you'd be profaning the place that I'm speaking about. You understand?
Okay.
Okay. I'll just stop right there because I could go on for hours and hours, and you guys don't have that much time on this program. So go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
I have 28 more minutes, and when valuable comments come in, yeah, we can have a discussion because I want to encourage
yeah.
not only you but other people to do it. I want to encourage our children to understand where they came
yeah.
from. You know, when we
okay.
look at Artemis II that's coming up, that's going to put a black
mm-hmm.
man and a black woman around the moon. The rocket lady
you know
has
what?
To get her name right. Go ahead.
That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing, bro. And I want to say what else is beautiful is that I look back because I was interested in food, you know, food. I like food, you know what I mean? And I like
mm-hmm.
a variety of food. I'm not just picky, you know what I mean? I like to experience other flavors, you know, and get a taste of where the people be feeding themselves, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking at okra. You know what okra is, right?
Oh, yes, I love it. It's planted.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not just planted, but I got some in my garden.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just get into some of the okra thing and how it got me to go into this whole experience that I'm talking about right now. My experiences in life
okay.
are cornucopia, just like yourself, sir. So, yeah, I was looking at okra, and I was, like, going back to the plantations when the women were cooking food, the slave women were cooking food, and they only had little scrap stuff to work with, you know what I mean? And so
mm-hmm.
they were creating some dishes that were just amazing, bro, with what they had to use. And
right.
the plantation people that ran whatever their trip was, is they were like noticing that, well, we could take some of these people down here and we can put them through some school and get them some training. They could be like the cooks, you know what I'm saying, the top notch people, right?
Right.
And that's what
right.
and that's what happened, right? That's what happened. So
mm-hmm.
so you got to think back in time when this stuff was going on. And then today, if you go to a restaurant, a four-star restaurant, and you try to order something like that, and they put that kind of love into there, and they got all these secret ingredients, how to use them and this and that to make those flavors pop and bang, bang, bang in your mouth. Because you
yeah.
know how it is, man. When you're hungry, you want that in your tummy. You know what I mean? You want to wrap your tonsils around this stuff over here. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
so you got to pay the price. You got to pay the price to get the authentic stuff. You can get this other stuff, but no, we're talking about the real deal, the Holyfield. You know what I'm saying? The real McCoy.
Right. Now, real
so
McCoy.
You got some leverage. You got some leverage right there. You see, the women got some leverage right there. And there's not only women, but there was men too. And these men and women have leverage in our community today. And these people are putting stuff out. You know what I mean? And there's more to these people than just what they're putting out. There's a lot more than meets the eye. So we got to get in there and find out what these people know, because we want to pick their brain so we get this valuable information. So when we operate, we're smooth operators. There ain't no dumb stuff, you know, dumb people stuff on stupid.
Yeah. Now I want to ask you this question. Do you know where the phrase the real McCoy comes from?
Say that again.
Do you know where the expression "the real McCoy" comes from?
Oh, you know what? I'll be honest with you, because you know you're being honest with me. I don't really know. Basically, I mean, I maybe do, but go ahead and shoot it.
Okay. When we had trains running across the country, when we first got started with trains, now to show you how history distorts things, when you
uh-huh.
see the picture at Promontory Point, Utah. With all these white people having laid the railroad across the country, that's a lie. Because we had thousands of Chinese people that did that work. But anyway, I'm going to go back to McCoy. When those trains were going, we had towns every 10 miles or so they could take up water and they could lubricate the wheels and stuff. And Elijah McCoy developed an oiling system so they didn't have to stop so often. And people tried to make his invention And people would go in and say, no, I don't want that cheap stuff. I want the real McCoy. And we use that on ships and everything. Elijah McCoy is a black man. You can look him up. I have a post
man,
on
I love
you,
man.
History.
I love
and
you,
I've
man.
Got over
thank
300
you.
Posts on there. What's that? Yeah,
that's
they
good
say,
stuff,
I don't want
man.
That white man. Yes, sir. So that's where the expression "the real McCoy" comes from.
Thank you for sharing that, bro. Man, that was sweet, bro.
Yeah,
I love
now,
that, man. I'm gonna have to try to remember that. You know, I mean, I'm gonna be like, "Oh, what did he say it was again?" No, I got you, bro.
Well,
I got
I'll
you.
I tell you what. Keep this number. Share it. Come back to see us. Go to the website. If you have questions, comments, you're
hey,
welcome.
Look it. Check it out. Check it out, bro. Check this out. Listen, I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but you know, I got. Anyway, it doesn't matter what I got. Doesn't matter what I got. Listen, all I know is that I just came on here to get away from the normal stuff that I got to deal with, and I deal with all kinds of people. I deal with all kinds of people, and everybody comes from a different religious background, you know what I mean, the people I deal with, and they like to represent whatever they come out of, right? And I'm like, you know, limited is limited, bro. I'm not limited,
mm-hmm.
I'm unlimited, you know what I mean? I'm unlimited to unlimited supply, you know, of knowledge. And like you said,
right.
like I said to you earlier, you know, I got a cornucopia of experience that led me to be who I am today, you know what I'm saying? And that, I believe you had the same thing, too, so... I wasn't coming on here to like, you know, I didn't know, man. I don't know who I'm going
to
hook up with. It's like
that's
cool and stuff. You got my number. That's what I know. You got my number. And I told you, if you want to call me, bro, we could kick back and talk for hours and we could sharpen each other up like you wouldn't believe. And I love that kind of thing.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's on you, bro.
I would love that. I would love that.
You
don't
call
have
me.
A
you call me.
Paper. Let
call
me get my wife to write this number down.
Okay.
Just keep talking.
Yeah,
now,
okay. So, you know, pardon me?
Where is 408, the general area?
No, I'm in California. I'm in a Northern California.
Ah, are you familiar with Nancy Monroe Gooch?
I can't say that I am. You'd have to give me some information so I can work with it. I don't really know. You're making a deposit. You're making a deposit into my bank when I don't know something. I want you to be careful what you put into me. So I don't listen to the wrong thing. You understand? I respect the truth, bro. I really do. But don't steer me in the wrong direction when I don't understand something.
Okay. Here's what I found out. We had the gold rush in California in 1849, right?
Yeah, I remember that. Remember Trump? Trump was involved in that. His family was involved in that whole trip.
No. We're going back to when gold was discovered in California in 1849. It was discovered in 1848, and the rush started in 1849. What I have found out is that, you know who owned the site of Sutter's Mill at the time of her death? Nancy Monroe Gooch, a black woman. And they owned
What was that? She owned what? She owned what again? Say that again. What she owned?
Sutter's Mill. The
what
site
is that?
Where gold was discovered in California.
Uh-huh.
She owned it at the time of her death.
Oh, okay.
Now, they owned hundreds of acres of land out there, a black family.
This is verifiable, though, right? This is public information.
Oh, yeah.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes. I have another page on Facebook that's called Amazing Black History, not .com. But Don Bassiano is one of the family members. And she was on CBS Mornings about 2 or 3 months ago. I've got a video of her on there. When we talk,
God.
We can go and look at it. But there are two other direct descendants. That I am in contact with on a frequent basis, and they are fighting to get the history straight on what happened there. This family was selling wholesale all over California. If you look at John Brown was in Harpers Ferry, Virginia, and what he was doing was he had set up and was financed. They were going to steal all of the arms out of the army repository, give them to the slaves so they could free themselves, okay? The person that financed that was Mary Ellen Pleasant, who lived in San Francisco, California. And we're talking about way back. Now, she was uneducated, but that does not mean she was stupid. She worked as a waitress in a highfalutin club and listened to what those people were saying, invested their money, and what would be $1 million today. She financed John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry. John Brown was a white man. And so we have history that goes back into California. When,
man, you guys are sweet,
when
man.
Black people were being treated unfairly, when black people were being treated unfairly in California, they went to Fraser Valley, Canada. Now, what a lot of people know, you know where British Columbia is, correct?
Yeah.
In Canada. The first governor of British Columbia was a black man. You know, they don't want you to know this. They don't want you to know this, but there's other stuff that's taking place all over the state. And that's what got me interested in black history to start with. Because I said, if this can happen and I don't know about it, something is bad wrong, folks. I need to let people know what's going on.
Yeah.
I need to know what's going on. Now, if you don't mind, after the show is over, I'm going to call you.
Absolutely, for sure, 100%. Yeah, thank you. To me, it's an honor to be able to listen to you, bro, so don't worry about it.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, I mentioned in the post for today that Kamala Harris broke a 221-year tradition. They had never had a woman speak at West Point's commencement. Harris did, and she's from California, you know. And I rewrote the post, and what it said initially when it came out was that she spoke to 950 graduates of West Point. I rewrote it. She delivered the commencement speech for my grandson and 949 of his classmates. We have done so much that people don't want to know. I've got 300 posts on AmazingBlackHistory.com.
Amen.
And they come with videos and books if you want to dive deeper into any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way to go, man.
Yeah. Inquiring minds want to know, you know.
Yes. Oh, anyway, what I was going to tell you about that Artemis going around the moon.
Uh-huh.
There's a lady that is called the Rocket Lady. She is a black woman. She's in charge of the company that makes the final booster to send that rocket around the moon. Black lady. Yes.
Beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Beautiful minds think together. You know, they think alike. You know what I mean?
Right. And so... Yeah, you can go ahead and say anything you want. We got about 15 minutes. And I enjoy your wisdom comments, so let's lay something else on us.
All right, I'll put something else out there, you know. I mean, I'm always into helping myself, you know, and if I can help myself in any kind of way, I want to help other people with that same thing, you know, and that's a good thing, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that people – you know, they're looking at their future, okay? This is how I want to speak on this. They're looking at their future, right, through the neurology. Yeah, neurology, right? They're looking at their future through the neurology. That's the word. That's how it's said. And the chemistry of their past, you know? And they're projecting that into the future, and so there's a problem with this way of thinking. You understand? And so we have to help people develop develop a way to get outside of themselves. And if you ever, ever get outside of yourself, you're looking at yourself from a higher position, and you're looking down at yourself, at your experience that you possess. These are called abilities to sympathize or empathize with your fellow man, you know what I mean? Because you can come down like a good teacher would do. I've had third grade teacher that has credentials to teach Ivy League college students, but she didn't want to go like that. She wanted to teach third grade. I was like, I got so much from this woman that I can look back and say, yeah, this is somebody. This is somebody that came down and took care of business because they had the future in their thought process. And I was just a little kid back then. I'm here to tell you, we want to give credit to the teachers who are teaching these children the difference between right and wrong. They're not saying one thing and doing another. They're giving them the truth and love, man. People need to break off some of that love, you know what I mean? Get rid of that irate hate, because all that bitterness is going to spring up to a hatred, and that hated part of yourself is what you project on the folk next to you, the closest ones, and that's not working anymore.
Right. And see, when we don't know what we're capable of, we don't know what we can do. Now, have you ever seen the movie Captain Phillips?
No.
This guy got captured by enemy, and one of the ways that they got away, or they got him back, was they had a Navy ship go by. You know who was in charge of that ship? The rear admiral is a black woman. A black admiral was commanding that ship, and they worked together. I've got a post that's coming up on her. I think that's Michelle Howard. I sometimes get the names wrong. But we've done that. I don't know how old you are, but if you remember Francis Gary Powers, who was flying a U-2 and got shot down by the Russians, we had a black female U-2 pilot back in the day, but they don't want you to know about it. And I think that's because it would influence many people. It would influence so many people to do so much more. When you look at Malcolm X, for example, he was Malcolm Little when he was born in Omaha, Nebraska. Wanted to be a lawyer.
Malcolm X.
Yeah. But they wanted him to be a carpenter because he was black. You know, they want to put us in the roles that they think we ought to be in, not what we deserve to be in, not what we're capable of doing.
I agree, you know, and Malcolm X, right?
Right.
Yeah, I understand that position just like anybody else on this planet understands that position, bro. But, you know, Dr. King, you know, like saying stuff to Dr. King, like even publicly speaking these words out of your mouth is going to come bite you in the butt, you know what I mean? And you can't say, oh, well, we ain't going to stand for that no more. We ain't going to turn the other cheek like Dr. King be saying. Well, you know, let me say something, man. If you're going to speak words of wisdom, then you got to let it be, baby. You know what I'm saying? And so, and so Dr. King was turned the other cheek because what he was conveying to the hearts and minds that received what he was doing, you know, Mr. X, you know, you can't say nothing, man. You really can't. You know what I'm saying? You got to just take the good with the bad. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it gets ugly, and ugly is, you know, sometimes – you know, we got to just get down and dirty, you know what I mean? Because some folks, they want to argue and fight, but you got to come down with these folks and let them know, look, man, I came down here to help you. Remember we talked about the teacher coming down and getting attention of the students, man, because these kids are knuckleheads. Right. They've been taught conflicting lessons. Them conflicting lessons, we can see that shit. That stuff ain't working, you understand? And so we got to break that shit up, man. We got to get the jackhammer and start busting this shit up and getting that stuff out the way. When people complain, what are you doing? Look, don't mind my business. I do what I do because it matters most to me, man, and I'm doing what I'm doing, man. I'm getting rid of this crap so you can have something to stand on. I'm going to put the truth down for you, boy. Don't you worry about nothing.
And we got another nut to crack, and that's the parents.
Well, you know, that's what we're working on right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is good, my friend. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take about 15 minutes after the show, and then I'm going to give you a call.
God bless you, man. I'm waiting for your call, right?
I'm going to take 15, 20 minutes to get my throat taken care of. And I'll give you a call out in the Golden State. Yes, sir. I appreciate your call. I appreciate your comments. And I do another show on Thursday called The Road to Success, or Faith on the Road to Success. And we talk about success.
That road.
Because
you know what I like about that road? You know what I like about that road?
Reason, what is that?
Is that on the road to success, man, you can wave at failure on your way to success because you ain't feeding your distractions no more. You're feeding your intentions, man. When you get there and when you come back to these people, you can tell them all about it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get off. Are you familiar with Robert Smith? Oh, I guess he's gone. Anyway, I hope that you will join us next week, same time, same station. And don't be afraid to call in. If you disagree, we can talk about that too. Talking does not always mean agreement. We have adult ways of handling it, and that's what we do. We want to open lines of communication. I understand that people don't see it from my point of view because they haven't been in my shoes. I hope to share that with you, and I hope that you learn. I hope that you come back. I hope that you invite others to join us. With that, the program you're listening to is Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie, every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and join us again next week.